Jessica Marie Garcia is an American actress hailing from Florida. Jessica is currently appearing in the Netflix hit On My Block as the role of Jasmine. She has acted in all four seasons of the hit Disney Channel original series, Livin' Maddie. Her feature film, Avenge the Crows, was released on iTunes, where she plays Peaches, starring alongside Danny Trejo and Lou Diamond Phillips. Jessica is also a member of the all-female ensemble cast of Betch, a sketch show, streaming now on Geo90 app and Hulu. You can see her early work on shows like The Middle as the tough wrestlerette Becky for four seasons. Jessica's first break was on Huge, playing Sierra Cruz on ABC Family. So buckle up, y'all. It's one of my favorite people, and I'm so glad that you get a little peek into her. I love this. So I'm excited to have this conversation, one, just because I adore you as a human, but also because I think that there's so many things that people don't think about and or know about you. So I always like to ask my guests, who are you? I want to hear how you explain yourself.
Ooh, I would say that I am a mom. I'm a free spirit. I am a comedian. I am a loyal friend. I'm a lot of things. I'm actually, you know, to be honest with you, in this moment right now, I'm also just very proud of who I am. So yeah, it's all good things. I would say all good things right now.
Good. I mean, all those things I also believe. How did we meet? I always want to hear people's versions of it, because I have found that clearly I meet people and I'm interesting. How did we meet?
Well, because you're interesting. But no, it was via Twitter, which is hysterical.
Yeah.
We have a mutual friend, and they had posted something that you had tweeted, and I was like, oh, I love that. And I went on your page, and I was just so blown away by what I saw on the page of, you know, who you even, you know, cultivated who you were in a few words. And I was like, oh, I wanna see what else she says. So I followed you, and I never looked back.
Mm-hmm. I also remember I slid in your DMs.
Oh, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did.
And was like, I was like, you know what? You seem cool. Here's my number. But, you know,
it's really funny how, like, I feel like sometimes your internet friends, when you meet them first by the internet, like how much they mean more than some of the people you meet IRL, like first up. I don't know what that is. I think because sometimes on the internet, I think your walls are down. You typically are putting snippets that are like really personal. So yeah, you're not meeting a representative, which I think is cool.
Yeah, because sometimes that it's the pressure of like your friends and that like that judgment. You're like, these people, I don't know these people.
Yeah.
Just put it out, say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
What does trauma mean to you?
Ooh. Even that word kind of, I feel like my stomach kind of fall. It means just like having to survive a moment or a time period where you don't feel safe, where you feel some kind of pain or hurt, and it's something that you take with you. It's like a scar that you constantly kind of break open throughout your life.
Yeah. So who was Baby Jess? Like, what was Baby Jess like?
You know what? It's so funny. Have you ever seen the movie Drop Dead Fred?
Duh.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that when I look back. I did not have that childhood. No. My mom is wonderful. Like, no, that. But as far as being older and looking at your younger self and wanting to like give yourself a hug or take yourself out of a situation, because when I think of younger Jess, I think of somebody that was just so full of love, such a light that constantly wanted to laugh and make people laugh, and wanted to have a great time and connect. I'm an only child, so I feel like I'm constantly looking for connections in people, even though I don't know kind of what to judge them off of, because like I've always wanted like siblings, but then I see some sibling relationships and I was like, oh, but I would want it differently, or I don't want it like that, or you know what
you're
I mean?
Like, I'm good.
I guess you can't guarantee a good one, right? So my chosen siblings are such a credible and cute community for me. So I'm happy that I found them now, but I think as a kid, I was always searching for it. So I was always looking for you know, any kind of like compliment or like love. Like I was constantly looking for that validation. Yeah. But I love her. Mm. She was so sweet. She's a good girl.
She was cute. I've seen photos.
Oh yeah, yeah. yeah, I've been through some stages. Let me tell you.
And all of them are beautiful. Yeah, we got you here. Yeah, that's all that matters. That's how we got here. So would you want to be when you grew up to be an adult?
I always wanted to act. I always wanted to be in the spotlight or in front of the camera or in front of a group of people entertaining them. So this was always something I wanted to do. I always say that, like, I feel like I was birthed reciting a monologue, and I think that that's like true. But I think also because I, you know, I grew up with a single mom who worked all the time, so like my like the TV was very much my babysitter, you know, like like those are the only father figures I know, you know. So it's interesting now doing shows like the George Lopez show when I like grew up going like, I mean, my dad's Mexican, that could be my dad, you know. So
Yeah,
it's creepy. It's really weird. I feel like I have resentment towards him from like my real dad, even though he's not my real dad. He's like,
he's like, I'm like, Jess, not me.
I know. He's like, what's up? Like, I don't know you. But it's funny. It's
that's yeah, so funny.
It's weird. This job is weird.
It definitely is. The entertainment industry. We're gonna get deep into her, but. How did you get started? Like, what does that, we're going to get these cheesy questions out before I get really in your business. Okay. Like how do you get started? How did you get started? Who cares how?
From the very beginning, I heard about a magnet program, a theater magnet program in a high school that was nearby me. I wasn't zoned for it, which was really important. But if you got into this magnet program, then you could be. And I heard about it. And that was kind of like my, besides a school play, my first big audition. And I got in and then realized I was a very small fish in a big pond. These were like all the best and the brightest from every other middle school going into this high school. Wayne Brady came out of this high school, Joey Fatone, like Wesley Snipes had the same director. Like people came here.
People.
Exactly. So I thought it was gonna be like all fun and great, and it was like a legit an education and not only like classical training, but also like rejection. Like I was like, oh, yeah. So people are just going to straight up be like, no, you can't do this or you're not good enough or whatever. So I went through a lot of that. I learned a lot, got a bit of a tougher skin. And then a lot of the people I was in school with was either going to New York for theater or LA for, you know, Hollywood and movies. And my best friend at the time, she was a year above me. She went to LA and found a manager that was also working out of Florida. So she was like, you need to meet her. So I did. And as much as she ended up being like the personification of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, like she was, like, she is like, so just very much a horrible human being. God bless her. She taught me a lot too, but it was a very hard time. I think when I was 19 was like the hardest year, one of the hardest years of my life. And that was because I had no safety net. Like my mom was 3,000 miles away and I've been connected to her at the hip my whole life. So it was really tough. That friend of mine left 3 months into moving there. So we had to find a new place to live, which ended up being with that manager. Yeah.
That's so fun.
So it was so fun. But yeah, that's how it started.
When I think like this is such a weird place. Like we have this conversation that I think LA is not like not a real place. It's like a mythical thing. And like people come here and they're chasing their dreams and that's what it's shown as. But like, let's have a conversation. What was it like when you actually got here? Like what is the actual hustle?
Oh.
It's not like you showed up and someone was like, oh my God, Jess, we waited. Here's your contract, girl.
No. I didn't know anybody. It was all, anyone I knew was through that management and we were all trying, like we were all kids at the time. I realized that as an actor, I wasn't just an artist, but I'm a product and I am as useful as the product and in demand as this product is, you know what I mean? So I learned that really quickly and you learn the business side of it, which you don't prepare for. I think people are learning about it more now as actors are becoming more vocal, but there's a lot that goes into it and there's a lot that people don't talk about. And there's a lot of fear around, you know, telling, you know, saying what's going on or saying what's happening, whether it's like, whether it's some kind of trauma or whether it's just business, you know, it's not, you do not prepare for it. And I think what's hard too is realizing that the most talented people aren't the ones that necessarily get the job. It is very much like who you know, and you know, how you position that. But when I got here, I realized that I was in a smaller box than I had even put myself in. In high school, I think that I learned that, oh, I wasn't going to be Juliet because I don't look like, you know, the white brown haired girl that they were going to pick, you know? And I was like, oh, we don't look above that. I thought we were all, no, we don't. And in Hollywood, it was that times 10. So it was like, if you're still to this day, if they're not looking for a chubby brown funny girl, I'm not necessarily looked at for that role or even thought of to audition for that role. So it's breaking out of boxes, and it's a lot of no's. And it's, I mean, I've been in it after booking the job. I can't tell you the trauma that comes after that, like in just the everyday rigmarole of it all, like, you know, going to hair and makeup and like, you know, none of this is mine. I have two strands of hair that I like legit staple to my hair, my head every day. And I've been like told in makeup and hair chair is like, oh, what am I supposed to do? Like, what? Like, and this is, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning when you're supposed to be funny, like, you know, it's, there's a lot to it. There's a lot of preparation that you have to do mentally that I don't think I was prepared for.
Yeah. How was your mental health as you were like navigating these first few years? And you said you were out here without your safety net.
Yeah.
You didn't have your person, which is your mom, who I love. Yes. but like, how is your mental health as you are navigating this?
If it wasn't for my mom, I don't know what I would have done. If I didn't have her to call, because these are people that I've just literally been introduced to. It's not like I have these deep connections with the people I was even living with. So it was really hard. I leaned towards relationships in order to fill that void. And I got into, I mean, the worst relationship of my life, abusive, physically abusive, emotionally abused, all of it at 19. And I was scared to let that relationship go in fear of like, I don't know my way around LA. And it's like, there's no GPS at this point. This is 2006.
Girl, yeah, MapQuest.
You know what I mean? But like, I'm the worst at that. Like, I had to be that person that was like, okay, now do the reverse directions. Like, I couldn't even be like, I took a right, so now you take a left, Jess. No. Like, I need there to be like, there may be a man on a bench with a cane. You take a right there.
You need visuals. That's okay.
I can't. It's not good. So, mentally I was not in a good place. It was probably one of the hardest years mentally as well for me was that first one.
Did you ever want to quit?
Oh, yeah. All the time. All the time. I still do.
Regular.
What are you talking about?
I think that's a thing, though, right? Like, we'll get into mama's fame, but also, like, the continued day-to-day every day. Yeah. Like, you wake up, you like, you know what? I could stay in bed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is warm.
Yeah. Well, having a kid will change that. Like, having a kid will change that. That's See? For sure. But I think that having her also changed my mentality of like why I wanted to do this. I think, you know, as a kid and even a few years ago, I was like, I'm going to be a star. And you know what I mean? Like, I want to be on the top if I'm a star. And now I'm like, I just want to work so that I can give her everything. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a shit about anything else. Yeah. So that has definitely changed my perspective 100%.
One of the things I think that we like grow up looking at and like strive to in different capacities is like doing something you did and was like getting on the Disney Channel. Like, I wanted to be a Mickey Mouse Club girl when Justin and them were on. Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, oop, there's one black girl in here. I just take it. But woo. But like,
hey, Christina was our Latina. Was like? We didn't even know at the time.
Listen, one of each.
We didn't even know at the time.
One of each.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Ooh, that's Christina. We're not.
And I love her.
I do love her. She better sing. tell me about Disney, and also because I know that for you, you also got like a family from this.
Yeah.
Like, tell me about her. Tell me about
Disney. It's funny because like, I feel like you hear these horror stories, which are 100% true. I'm sure of it. I just was really lucky and I got on a show with incredible people all around. And I mean, to the point where the creators of the show were like, they married Adam and I, like they were our officiants. And the entire wedding party was my cast. Like Dove was literally about to go on Broadway. And that's the only reason she wasn't there. You know what I mean? So we have all like, you know, continued to have this family and have been supportive of each other. And it's been a blessing. But I mean, getting on the show was a trip because I remember I left my senior year in high school. Like I didn't finish, I didn't graduate. And I told everybody in high school that I was leaving because I was going to go to LA to be on a Disney show, which was complete bullshit. I was leaving for LA, but there was no Disney show. And
bro, you was lying?
I completely lied. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go. I just had this opportunity. Like, no, you didn't. I just didn't want to seem like a failure. So when this happened, I was like, did I manifest the shit out of this? Like, I don't know. But it's a trip and it changed my life forever. It was one of the best shooting experiences of my life because not only did I feel free to like learn, but that schedule is so beautiful. Like you are like home by at 4 o'clock every day. And then on Friday you have a live show, which is just every theater kid's dream to be able to do, you know, perform in front of a live audience every week. So I was like, I don't know why people hate on this. This is great. You know, it was awesome. It was like camp. I was at camp for 4 years.
That sounds cute. I love that for you. What? I also wanted to do, did you ever watch Bug Juice?
Hell yeah.
I was trying to go to camp.
Was there all?
I wanted to go to camp so bad. Was there only like 2 seasons? Yeah, it was short. It was short.
I remember they used to, and they still to this day replay it so many times. I'm like, why didn't you just do another one?
Maybe something happened. You never know. Something happened. Maybe children got saved. But I wanted to go to that camp so bad.
I do too. I went to one, but it was like a scripture camp, so it wasn't the same.
I don't feel like that's the same vibes. Vibes off. Vibes off.
That was an off vibe.
You brought up like typecasting.
Yeah.
Girl, who do they put Mama in the role as? Who are you?
I am everybody's fat friend for sure. Anybody's person that like they like the main boy will run from and then eventually enjoy, maybe. That's been my go-to, like 2 shows in a row, legit. Like I've been chasing this one boy and then I get them. Now that I'm getting older, I don't know what I'm going to be typecast as. I'm interested in see what that is, but I'm hoping that I make those opportunities for myself more so that I don't have to rely on that. That's the vibe now. But I'm a lot of cops, like a lot of like detectives, you know, like partners. I get a lot of those, a lot of bullies. Yeah. A lot of Marias, a lot of Marias, a lot of immigrants.
How does that feel?
It feels shitty. I mean, at this point you kind of get used to it. But yeah, no, it feels shitty because at the end of the day, that's not all who we are, obviously. But on top of that, it's like somebody else is going to do that better than me. Like somebody lives that story better than me. I'm literally from Orlando. Like what? I don't know. So it's one of these things where back in the day, I used to always look for all ethnicity breakdowns so that they were looking for a person of color, but they weren't necessarily looking for a Latino who was going to, you know, speak perfect Spanish. But like 9 times out of 10, if I booked it, like my name was like Cynthia and now it's like Clara, or like, you know what I mean? Like they change it and it's like a whole thing. So I get typecast a lot, but I think it's changing in a way. I want to be hopeful. I do. I want to be hopeful, but I don't think it's going to be in my, not lifetime, but like in my prime. Yeah. I feel like it's something that like, hopefully a gift that we give the next generation, because I don't know if it's necessarily going to be in mine. Hopefully I'll be part of the change.
Yeah. I mean, I think you are a part of the change.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But not even because, like, you were my friend. Like, I have seen your work and I appreciated your work before we even knew each other. But I was like, I think we'd be friends and look at us now. But I think that the ways that you navigate and, like, show up, like, you just came off this, and it's still looming, like, a big-ass strike.
Yeah.
Like, the world was shooketh. And I still don't think that people truly understand. And I would love to hear, like, your perspective. Because as someone that knows and checked in, you were there every day. Like, every day. Mom was at the front. You were there. Like, there.
We try to do about 3 days a week. There are people there that were there every day, though. Like, I was not one of them. I did about 3 days a week for the majority of it. And towards the end there, we were making it, like, hopefully, like, once a week. It was hard. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, I had to show up. Selena is such a inspiration to me. And for some reason, whenever I get put in a corner or when I feel like something is, like, I'm being asked to stand up for something, I can just picture her go, hey, mommy, when this and this happened, like, what did you do? And I just can't picture going, well, honey, I tweeted something. I retweeted something and that did something, like, you know, so
maybe.
Exactly. So I just try and, like, I want her to be proud of me, and I want her to know that, like, you know, I fought for something that I thought was important to not just me, but to the next generation of not only actors and filmmakers in general, but to our families, because so much of they rely on us so much. So I hope she's proud. She's my motivation for a lot of the things that I do that people like. Not really me.
Listen, they're welcome. They're welcome either way. They also don't know that they're going to be blessed by her, but we know it, though. It's coming.
Yeah.
As you're navigating all these things, what I also keep hearing is culture. And what does culture look like to you in this art that you create? Like, I, again, personally, because I be in the business, y'all, I got her phone number, but, like, I know you just came back from, like, a big trip. Like, you have been diving more into culture, and I know that has been, like, something really important for you, and also the work that you do. Can you tell us about
that? Yeah, absolutely. I am Mexican and Cuban primarily. And I won't talk about all the Spanish in me and all the colonizer that's inside. We'll just talk about the good parts. Hello. Amen. But I grew up with the Cuban side of me on my mom's side. So I missed out on a huge chunk of who I am, which is the Mexican side. And when I moved out to LA, I was like, what is all of this? And what are these traditions? What are these foods? What are just everything, these feelings that I didn't realize I was missing for so long. And I just get so jealous of seeing people that have, like, you know, Mexican abuelas that are making tortillas from scratch and, like, teaching them how to all of these traditions that I really wish that I had. So now that I have Selena, I want her to be able to have, you know, be in touch with those traditions. So I wanted to learn, and I have so many friends that have gone back and forth to Mexico their whole lives, and going to Mexico City last month was just life-changing, because it just felt like home. Like, it felt, like, so easy, and the food is so good, and the people are so great, and I'm learning about a part of me that I never knew. Like, we went to the Museum of Anthropology, and I always wear a black obsidian ring and a hummingbird ring. And I found out just in that museum, in that tour, how important black obsidian was to the Mayan people and how important the symbol of the hummingbird is. So I was just like, shit, like, I didn't even know that, you know what already I mean? And I was in. Already felt so connected to it. So just things like that mean a lot to me. And I think it also helps because I'm not fluent in the language yet. And I feel like that's, like, the one thing that people hold over my head. So being able to connect in different ways makes me feel more authentic and makes me feel like I'm doing right by not only, like, myself, but by my ancestors who mm-hmm. didn't speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. FYI.
Listen, everybody don't speak Spanish. Stop assuming.
Yeah.
Okay. Stop putting pressure on people.
Listen, it's just changing one colonizer's language for another. Okay.
You know what? You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong at all. There's so many more things I would ask you, but in this moment, what do you think has been your proudest moment in the art that you've created?
My proudest moment? I think just being able to speak for an audience that never felt like their story mattered. I get to, even last night, I did a Q&A for Diego Tinoco's acting school. And so many of the girls that asked me questions, they were all girls of color, but so many of them were Latinas who looked just like me, but you know, just a little bit younger, just like a little bit.
Cash, like a year.
But for, they said things to me like, you know, because of you, I felt like I was represented, or I felt like I could do this. And that is just something that's so priceless. That means everything to me, which is the purpose of doing this. And I'm just so thankful that I get to say that, you know, I had a little bit to do with that. So but I'm really proud of that, I would say.
So in that, there's like a little expansion of that, like in overall, what have been your ups and your downs? Because people will look and be like, oh, girl, you're on TV, you on Netflix, you was on Denny, you're at this dinner party, you're with this person. But also, like, you and I know that's not what you do every day.
No,
like,
no,
that's
no,
not
no.
everybody's regular life.
And it's like, interesting how people assume. I think it's tough. It just reminds me of the Barbie monologue that America Ferrera says, and how it's impossible to be a woman. And people just expect you to do everything, to be everything, and to do it flawlessly. And I think when you are in this industry and you're on television, people think for some reason you should be right about things and you should be like knowledgeable about everything. And I think the celebrity culture of just like, you know, I love this person, so they have to be able to be knowledgeable about everything and smart about everything. I'm like, don't look to them. Don't look to me just because somebody said yes to me and said that I could read a line well and put me in front of, like, you know, cameras. Like, don't think that because of that, I should be able to tell you how we use solar power. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not knowledgeable about that. Like, no. So I think that's one thing that's a down about it. I mean, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be vocal about what you believe in. That's the opposite. I just think that you should always question. I think you should question everything I say. Yeah. I think you should research everything.
Do your research.
Absolutely. It's just so important. Like, I'm just some asshole off the street. Like, you know, like, don't look to me for advice. I think that would be a down. I just don't want to ever lead anybody the wrong way in anything. So that's kind of like a negative aspect of this business, because I don't want to do that. An up is like, you know, people are really nice to you most of the time, and they you get perks and things. Those are fun things. Like negatives, I feel like I have to look cute everywhere I go because I'm going to be taking a picture and I look like redonkulous. We've had a few. Remember when we went to dinner and that girl sat next to us and was like, oh my God, you're so pretty in real life. And you're like,
girl, what?
Yeah, people say crazy things.
You know, also the crazy part is I forget you're famous. And we were at dinner. I was like, do you know this person?
Who is
this?
I know. Julie, who's like, this?
Start getting an attitude. Who the hell is this? Oh, girl, you famous. My bad. Go ahead and look at her. My bad.
But it's like, you know, it's a like, I will never say no to a picture. I love it. It means so much to me. But it's like comments like that where you're like, oh, okay, yeah. That's a down. And just because sometimes you're in horror, like I was in the hospital with my mom, and then, you know, having people just kind of stare at you, you're like, this is not the time. You want to kind of be able to turn it off. Other downsides is that, like, you know, people expect you to be working all the time and to be grinding, and like, you know, you're only as good as your next project. And sometimes with the scarcity of parts in this, it's hard. So I have friends who have had to get normal jobs and they get nervous. Yeah. So I'm like, listen, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, I waited tables like the first three seasons of Liv and Maddie. Like, sorry, I need to make money, and you only come here every other week. What do you want me to do? LA is expensive. So, little things like that, you know, are downs about it. And, you know, not just to be able to, you know, make things with your friends. Like, I know incredible writers, I know incredible directors and actors, and it just doesn't work as easy as that. And you wish mm-hmm. that the most talented people got the jobs, the opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What have been your ups?
Oh my God, everything. This has been life-changing. I've been able to take care of my family, especially during a pandemic. Had I not been, you know, a series regular and on my block, we would not have survived. We would have been in mm-hmm. like this super tiny ass apartment in Valley Village that we lived in for 10 years that now I'm like, I don't know how we didn't, you know, wring each other's necks. We were so close. If we had been there, it's because it's me, my mom, and my husband at the time. So, and our dog, it would have been a lot. But that has been a huge up, being able to like let my mom retire. That's the best. That's all I've ever dreamed of. So that in itself is everything.
Yeah.
Being a mom and being able to, you know, show her that I'm, you know, a mom and still following my dreams is huge. Mm-hmm. What else am I proud of? I think I'm a good wife.
Yourself?
Oh yeah. Ooh. I am. Is very proud of it. No,
I was like,
could you imagine? He's like staring at me this whole time. No. you know him. He might be. I don't know. No, I'm very proud of myself. I'm glad that I just don't listen to the voices that are negative all the time. I think that even in my darkest moments, there's always a voice in me that's like, "Nah, girl, you got this. You know you got this. Like, cry it out, but you know you got this. You know what you were meant to do. You know what you're capable of. Don't let, you know, these words or this situation or this moment overcome you too much. Like, you have to get back up again." So I'm proud of myself for never giving up on myself. Starting therapy this last year was life-changing because postpartum is a bitch. So.
She is. Mm-hmm. She out here. Hearing voices made me think of social media.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000,000%.
How does one navigate?
Girl, what do you want to see?
Social media.
What comments do you want to see? The things that people say about me. How do I navigate it?
Besides wanting to throw hands.
There's always one. Like sometimes people will say stuff and it won't bother me. And then sometimes I'm just like, I just want to talk. And I have popped off on a few people. And then you realize that they're like 12 and you're like, oh, I can't do that. It's always a nameless person. Or they're like,
I didn't know you were going to respond.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I love you so much.
No. You know, it's a funny thing because I think it could be really easily something that can overcome you and just like ruin your day. And it is something where, because having ADHD, like I always have like those thoughts that just keep going over and over again. And it's usually that same comment that came comment. Mm-hmm. It's like irking at me. So sometimes I do respond. But other times I just realize that those comments are always coming from a place of pain, are always coming from a sad place. Ever since becoming a mom, I feel like I see people as children and I see where their pain comes from. So I'm like, for someone to say something so rude or so hateful, someone didn't give you what you needed. You are lacking some kind of love, some kind of empathy. Somebody made you feel a way. Because at the end of the day, happy, beautiful people don't comment stuff like that. They just don't. It's just not in them.
Right.
So you're telling me more about you. And especially what I've realized becoming a mom, because let me tell you, every mother has an opinion about how you mother. That's like the new thing. That's the girl. Oof. And it was funny because I shot something recently where a mom who I've looked up to came up to me and said something to me that, I mean, irked me to a way where I was just like, I wasn't ready. I came in with no walls. You know, when you go into a social situation, but you go in with no walls because you think that it's a safe place. And then someone just throws something at you. Like, can't even get like a hello, calm down, get a beverage. It's like right away, like trigger. And And I was just like, oh, okay. I wasn't ready for that. But I have to realize that people are projecting, right? And whether it's in your face or it's on the computer. So it really depends how much time I have that day with how I'm going to navigate it, whether I'm going to say something or not, or if I'm going to be like, I hope you can look within yourself, or if I'm just like, fuck off. Like, you know what I mean? It's going to be one or the other. But yeah, the internet's a horrible thing for me sometimes, but I'm thankful that it came in this part of my life and not earlier. Cause had I been 17 years old on Liv and Maddie, going through the same things that they were going through at 17 years old, I don't think I would have been probably emotionally or mentally ready for that. It's a lot.
I'm glad we didn't have the internet like that back in our day. All the instant photos and the quick, baby, I'm glad to be in my 30s to have missed that.
Yep.
Thank you, MySpace, for a top 10, top six.
God, I loved me MySpace. MySpace was everything.
What was your Instagram name? Look at me trying to be there. Your AIM name.
BBlueLSU15.
What?
It was supposed.
What? Explain.
It was Baby Blue Loves You 15.
Well, that sounds sweet. Are you confused?
What? No, I'm just wondering why I felt the need to name it that. It's pretty awful.
Okay, well, we can't question.
What was yours?
I had so many in different stages of my life.
Oh yeah, me
well,
too.
My first one was Sabteen W. I remember all of them. Sabteen W for Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
And you were judging me for Baby Blue.
First off, didn't judge, just cackled. I also was Zesty Girl. I also my high school one. This should have been foreshadowing.
Did you say Zesty?
First off,
what are you on? Very
heavy. This one's maybe my final one in high school, and then I went to college, whole new name, was Loves to Bite, I Do, and then it got to Jimmy Lala.
Oh, Jimmy Lala is cute.
I thought it was foreshadowing.
Jimmy's cute.
The foreshadowing buildup.
The bite one. I know about you sometimes.
That's true. It's true. Listen, sometimes I will send a voice note, and you love them, with a detailed story.
You better have a glass of wine.
What is it? Captivating.
But you will always send one mid-sentence. It's never like, hey, what's going on? This is where I am right now. You're like, and then. I'm like, where are we?
Audacity. Mid-thought. You know, sometimes, this is also a note for all of us. Sometimes when you do the voice record, pay attention to make sure it has started before you start talking. Because that happens sometimes. Sometimes you be in the vibe. Because normally if I'm coming to you with a story, it's about to be a time.
Mm-hmm.
True. And so it's like, damn, I missed part of it. So that's fine.
And then
so you are a
million things as well. You're also doing 15 things when you're sending them. So you're like, oh wait, oh sorry, I'm doing okay. Anyway, so I'm like, oh wait, what's happening? Oh, no. So anyway,
details. Because I want you to be there with me.
Oh, I'm there.
We're experiencing
it. I'm there with you.
See, look at us. This has been a few years. Y'all are welcome. So you have already told us you're a manifester.
I do.
Because that's how you've been out here. What are we manifesting? What are we putting out into this new year?
Well, I always kind of say a little mantra, and I always say light, love, laughter, peace, perfect health, and endless prosperity. I tend to like say it over and over again. But more specifically, I'm manifesting, well, I can't say too many things, but
okay. We'll just be vague.
I'll be vague. Hopefully, there's a larger announcement that comes out soon in the next few weeks. That's what I'm manifesting an announcement.
Ooh, love that.
And also, just I'm working on a project that I would really like to be greenlit by the end of this year.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right, let's juju's be out there. From your lips to the ears to the sky, be blessed. Here we are.
Yeah. What about you?
Damn sleep. No. I am manifesting what I have learned about myself, which I'm going to ask you in a second. Like, I'm manifesting more love and more opportunities to connect with people that I should connect with. And I'm also manifesting those that shouldn't be around me to keep disappearing.
Mm.
Casper, bitches, keep removing yourselves. Release, 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 release. And a bag, honey, because yeah. I can go on some like friend trips and vacations.
Absolutely, absolutely.
There's places we want to see.
Absolutely.
We want to see. I might have already asked you this, maybe not, but like, what did you learn about yourself last year? What did you learn about yourself in 2023? That was my year-end friendship question. Maybe I didn't text it to you, but
no, here it is now. I don't know if you said that one to me. I think I'm a lot stronger than I knew. But I think I prove that to myself every year, because I think every year you have your ups and your downs. Definitely stronger than I knew, but I think smarter as well, and capable. I feel like as an actor and as a writer and a producer and eventual director, I've put myself at a different level than I put other people in fear that I wasn't as knowledgeable. Like, I think not graduating high school, not going to college, things like that put in your mind that, you know, you're not as smart, you're not the smartest person in the room, you don't have as much to maybe give to the conversation. And I feel like I've been in this industry and worked enough where I know a lot more than I give myself credit for. So I think I'm much more capable of going into that director's chair than I thought that I would have been maybe the year before. And I made strides for it. Like, I'm working for it. I'm getting that knowledge now and using the advantage I have of knowing directors to then shadow and to educate myself.
What do you wish people knew about you?
A lot of things, but I think professionally, I wish that they knew that I am a much more well-rounded actor than I think that they've seen. I think that my drama and my serious acting is better than my comedy. So I think that comedy stems from drama. I think that if you know pain, you know how to make people laugh in a way, because
don't we? We're funny as fuck.
You have to be. You have to be. That's how we survive. So I would like that opportunity and for people to know that about me professionally. Yeah. Personally, I'd like people to know that I care, that I give all of the shit. That I'm a safe place to land.
That's true.
You know, that I'm a nice person. I can say that confidently.
You are. Good. I like that. I like that you can actually say it, and then I could be like, she's not wrong. Because if you did, I'd be like, she is like, creative with her words. No.
And moving on to the next question.
No. And I always love asking like the questions, the self-reflection. Because you will always have a different view of self. And I think that people don't always know where others' heads are. So that's when the assumptions come.
Ah, okay.
And so like giving you the space to be like, no, this is actually what I'm thinking. This is where I'm at. Like people could go, you know what? That makes sense. If there's any up and coming Latina babies coming up in this industry that have been following your work, right? Like, do you have any advice for them?
Oh, yes. And there are so many.
Ooh, list.
There are so many that are coming and like blossoming and doing such great work already. But what I would say to them is to not feel pigeonholed to a certain role or what you think you're supposed to look like. I mean, I've heard so many casting directors tell Latinas and telling myself like, oh, make sure your hair is black and long and you wear red lipstick in the casting office. Oh, like, God. Oh, yeah. Really Latin it up.
Okay, look,
so I feel like to show that, you know, really be proud of who you are and, you know, what makes you unique and not feel like you have to fit into that stereotype. And be multifaceted. I don't care if you don't think you can write, if you don't think you can, you know, produce or do costumes or anything, just try. Because right now in the age that we're in, it's so much more beneficial to be multifaceted, to be a multi-hyphenate. Yeah. Like it's almost demanded of you. So do that. And also live your life. The only way you're going to be a good actor is if you have life experience. And it's important to be a full person to do this. And make sure you are checking on your mental health, because if you are not being able to turn these characters off, these emotions off, and finding a healthy way to do that, you can get trapped. And I've been there. So, yeah.
I think that's such a beautiful reminder of like, you have to get into a headspace to play these other people.
Oh, yeah. Your body is still feeling them. Your body is still going through all the trauma. I remember going into intense scene study classes, and I mean, every week I was losing a child, I was losing a loved one, I was going through this, and it was like, I didn't understand why for months on end I was in this depression that I was like, what? There's not really nothing going on in my life where I should feel like this. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm pouring my heart out every single day in either rehearsal or an actual class. And it's like, I didn't know how to separate myself from it. And if you don't, you become tragedies and you see these things that happen to these actors. So it's really important to be able to figure that out.
Did you create like something for yourself to detach from these characters to come back to Jess?
Absolutely. Whenever there's a character that it's too much, like I don't do this for Lopez versus Lopez. Like it's a very fun, you know, character. But even for Jasmine, she's a lot. And I had to give her energy to her earrings. So whenever I took off Jasmine's earrings, I intentionally was taking off Jasmine.
I love that.
Yeah, because if not, you're just like bouncing off the walls. Like I would love for you to see a character actor drive home at the end of the night. Like they are, we don't say anything. We don't like, because there's so much energy that is needed.
Yeah.
And then you do it the whole day, right? Because you got to keep your crew up. You got to keep the rest of everybody's energy up and you want them to have a good day. And I'm still at the people pleaser, you know, by nature. So I'm like, everyone's gonna have a good day and I'm gonna get this scene done. So it's like so much energy that by the time you're done, you're just beat.
What's a recovery day like for you? Like how you did talk about like getting into therapy and whatnot, but like, how do you take care of yourself? Like, what does that look like? Like to stay here and stay working, like how you get out of bed? What does that look like?
I have to have days where I do absolutely nothing but stay with my family and in my home. Like that is such a priority that I make where it's like, no, I'm saying no to you because I just need to be here. I need to be with my family. That's just where I feel happy and where I feel safe. As far as like self-care, Adam and I constantly, we get monthly massages together. I have to be able to check in with him and just decompress about everything that's going on. Like I can't keep it in. I feel like those, whenever I would do that in the past, you kind of gaslight yourself and then you minimize those feelings when once you talk to somebody, you realize, and I think that's a lot with therapy too, is like you realize that you're not having these out of like the box ideas or like, you know, nothing you're saying is not founded. So it's good. Those are things that I do to make sure that like, you know, I'm in check and that I'm okay. But yeah, I want to do nothing. I want to just enjoy. If I had a hot tub, I'd be in there. That would be recovery for me.
Ooh, I also wish you had a hot tub for all of us.
That's the next.
Okay. It's coming.
I'm going to manifest a hot tub this year.
Ooh, okay. Put it out there because I want to be in it. Yeah. So let's receive it. So our last question is one of my favorite questions, and really it's because I'm nosy, and I know if you're listening to this, you also nosy. So what is the wildest thing someone has texted or DM'd you in the last 2 weeks?
Oh, wait, DM'd too? Because I get a lot of like sugar baby.
You got options.
I get a lot of sugar baby requests that are super fun. But I feel like most of them are like body. Like I'm like, I feel like these are copy and paste, so they're not as interesting. But to go a little bit more fun and just more industry, here we go.
I'm excited.
Okay, super quick, with America, meaning America Fiera right now, we just showed her the video, we made a video for her. Would you be available to FaceTime at 2:45, 3:00? So that's me FaceTiming with America Fiera and scheduling that. That was pretty crazy.
Casual.
And I literally was taking a nap because Selena was taking a nap, looking like a mess. And they're like, are you ready? I was like, yes, I'm ready. Like, let's go. It was so funny. But yeah, no, we made this video for her and she was just really excited about it. So she wanted to thank us and she called us. But I was not ready for that. I was like, what world do I live in?
I love that for you.
Yeah, I do too.
You better receive these calls.
I'm receiving. I received the call. I accepted it. I joined. I joined the FaceTime looking like a muff.
Okay, you probably looked.
I didn't. I put a sweatband on. I was like, I just worked out.
So you're adaptable. See, that's what I'm talking about, friend. Adaptability. this is great. I hope that people got to like really get like a peek in and understand that you really are so many different things and so many different versions and adaptable and a badass and a mother. A mother.
A mother.
she's so fun. She's so creative. She's so I gotta come. I got to come hang out with my friend. But how can these individuals, if this is the first time, which is wild, if this is the first time you've ever heard and or seen this person, that's wild to me. How can they continue to be in your business? Where can they find you? What are you working
on? Oh, well, please continue to be in my business. You can find me on all the socials at Jessica Marie Garcia or something like that. As far as my work, you can watch me on All My Block on Netflix, Lopez vs. Lopez on Netflix. You can see, I was on the last couple episodes of Erin and Erin on Nickelodeon, if that's your vibe.
options, y'all, options.
Liv and Maddie on Disney, if that's better. I don't know. How to Get Away with Murder, season 5. I'm just naming my whole IMDb page now, which is not that cool to do.
How to Get Away with Murder was a time for me.
That was a time was for a time. Me, too.
I bet it was. It was.
It was. That's a conversation for another day, but it was amazing.
It is. It is. Thank you. And this is also something that, Chris, you're going to have to fix, but you were the start of Women's Month for me. And it was really important for me to have someone that I see as so much more than just a woman, but as a full-rounded human that has so many aspects to them. And I wanted to say thank you.
No.
For being the first lady of Women's Month here. And so that's it. I just wanted to say thank you.
No, thank you for having me. I'm always in constant awe of you and the work that you do. I think you're incredible. And I appreciate you so much in my life and for what you do for everyone else. So thank you. And you would be my first woman of Women's Month, to be honest. So when you want me to interview you, let me know.
Listen, that'd be so fun. That would be so fun.
We should do it.
We should do it. All right, we're done. Thank you.
I love you.